Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In California, employees are allowed to take leave due to a variety of reasons and circumstances, from bereavement to caring for a loved one, medical leave, bonding with a new child, which includes adoption. This year, a new state law adds another type of absence for hopeful parents, allowing employees to take unpaid leave following a reproductive loss. It does include miscarriage, but it also means much more, from a failed adoption to surrogacy and IVF transfer, as well as other fertility diagnoses. CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf has more about this new California law and joins us now. Hey, Kate.
Hi, Vicky.
So how did this new law come about?
So Senator Susan Rubio put this law forward this past legislative session to reflect something she was hearing from more women in her district. So according to the Mayo Clinic, about 10 to 20% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage, although that number is estimated to be higher when including people who never know they're pregnant. But Rubio says that figure is not reflected in state law.
It's normal. And I think for many years, it felt like women did something wrong because they couldn't carry a child to term. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault. Just like it's not if we have IVF that failed, a failed adoption, it's just part of life. And we need to recognize not only the trauma, but also that it's okay to talk about it and no one's to be blamed.
So Senator Rubio really wanted and felt like it was her, responsibility to make sure that reproductive loss law was added to the California books.
And it takes effect this year. I touched upon some of the reasons, but can you run through the types of reproductive losses that qualify for this new leave of absence?
So the law covers miscarriage, unsuccessful assisted reproduction, so something like IVF, in vitro fertilization, not taking, failed adoption, failed surrogacy, a diagnosis that negatively impacts pregnancy, a diagnosis that negatively impacts fertility, or stillbirth. And it applies to both people in the couple. So if you have IVF that doesn't take, if you receive news that you won't be able to ever have a child, all these things count as an allowance for bereavement and healing and would qualify for these 5 days.
Given that we already have a variety of types of leave, why don't the other leaves like bereavement qualify or fall short?
So yeah, bereavement covers the loss of a child, parent, sibling, grandparent, grandchild, domestic partner. So that seems like a lot of people, but there's, a lot of folks that you can lose and lose a child, a prospective child or the possibility of a child or a fetus, and that is not included in bereavement leave. Employees also have sick leave, but employers are only obligated to give 3 sick days a year. I think that's changing, but that's not a lot of sick leave. Pregnancy disability leave covers if you are truly disabled due to pregnancy complications or the loss of a child. So if you are someone who probably still could work, that pregnancy disability leave doesn't cover you. And the last leave that could cover but doesn't fully cover is the California Family and Medical Leave Act and the California Family Rights Act, which provide 12 weeks of unpaid leave for people to take care of a serious medical condition of themselves or someone else. But it requires employees to have worked somewhere for a certain amount of time before they're eligible, and also doesn't apply to small businesses.
Hmm. Okay, so given that these types of losses, have existed for generations and generations, starting now, it took effect January 1, what are the big changes people are going to experience if something like this happens to them, compared to last year, 2023, to now?
So previously you had 0 protected days off for reproductive leave. You could take sick leave, but now you have up to 20 days total of leave per year. So you can only take that in 5-day increments, but there are a lot more options too. If you're, for instance, someone who is on a pregnancy or adoption or surrogacy journey and experiences multiple losses, which does happen for sure, you will be able to have more options. And if you do take this leave, your employer is mandated to keep that completely confidential.
Okay, so walk us through how it works.
So the law doesn't mandate that employers pay employees for this leave. But if you have sick time that you haven't used, you can use that to help pay for this leave. But yeah, so if you experience a loss like this, you can tell your employer that you need to take leave based on the California law of reproductive loss and event leave, and you can qualify for those 5 days that don't have to be taken immediately. They can be taken later if you want to grieve with your family in some other way within 3 months of when that event occurs. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that this does apply to both people in a relationship. What was the rationale behind that?
So when I spoke with Senator Susan Rubio, she said she wanted to reflect that both people in the relationship have experienced this loss, and that experience should be reflected.
We no longer live in the 1950s where there was one type of family. Now we know that there's families in different combinations trying to experience the love of having a family.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to, you know, you want to actually take advantage of this leave, you know, what do you actually have to show your employer?
So the law doesn't say anything about documentation. For California's bereavement law, the employer can request proof, but this law does not require employees to show proof. That said, if an employer's policy mandates that proof must be shown, then that must be followed. You know, regardless, employers can't retaliate against an employee for taking this leave if they believe that they've experienced a reproductive loss event, which is generally pretty broad. But the law itself does not mandate any proof.
Where does California compare to other states? Do other states have similar laws on the books?
So this is kind of a relatively recent phenomenon to really get reproductive loss leave in the books. But there are two states that have kind of provided a little bit of an example for California. In 2022, Utah and Illinois passed their own reproductive loss law. Utah's applies specifically to public employees, and it's 3 days, and it's part of their bereavement leave for specifically miscarriage or stillbirth. So it's much more limited than California's law. Illinois' law is a bit bigger. It allows for 10 unpaid work days, but yeah, definitely not as extensive as California's in terms of amount of days, but those 10 days can all be taken together consecutively, unlike California's. Something I thought that was interesting about Illinois' law is that employees don't have to tell their employer which event they experienced. So the proof is not required out in Illinois.
Hmm. You mentioned, and we've actually heard from State Senator Susan Rubio. I mean, tell us more about this lawmaker who authored the legislation.
So Senator Susan Rubio represents LA and the Inland Empire. She is from LA. She was born in Mexico from LA. She's a former public school teacher and the chair of the Senate Select Committee on Domestic Violence. And she has a lot of female friends. You know, she talked to me about how there's a lot of women in her life who have been through this and shared with her that they'd never told anybody that this was something that they'd experienced. And as she heard that from people, you know, she began to connect with other stakeholders and realized there was a need to normalize this conversation. Something else I'll mention about Senator Rubio that we might see down the line is she told me about a law she has in mind that would make it cheaper because it would have health plans contributing to people doing IVF, in vitro fertilization, and freezing their eggs. So she wants to make that more cost effective for people, in part because she shared with me that she comes from a family of women with cancer diagnoses, and the treatments you go through for, you know, dealing with cancer really can impact your fertility and the timeline at which you can have kids. So she wants to make that more in reach for people who may be experiencing cancer who would want to have these fertility treatments.
Hmm. Kate, I realize that this is already a state law. It's like, you know, it's a done deal. But, you know, as it was making its way through the state legislature, did it come with any opposition? And if so, what was the main argument?
The main opposition was from the California Chamber of Commerce, which argued that Californians have a lot of leave already. We do have a fair bit of protected leave in comparison to other states. And the Chamber of Commerce worked with Senator Rubio's office to get those 20 days that Senator Rubio wanted for people broken down into 5-day chunks so that an employer wouldn't have to protect somebody's job for 4 weeks while they were going through something, and instead it can be a little bit more spread out.
Kate, there are many fertility issues that people who want to become parents that they're faced with. I mean, there's a whole spectrum. I mean, there's miscarriage, there's stillbirth, learning you're unable to biologically have a child. But this type of grief, as you mentioned, and as the state senator mentioned, has long been dealt with privately behind closed doors. And it can be a lot more common than we actually think. So is this law part of a larger cultural shift that really sparked or influenced this piece of legislation?
Yeah, so it has become, the conversation about how often this happens has become more prevalent. I think people are having children later, they're delaying starting families, and this can lead to more difficulty getting pregnant, more chances of experiencing a loss like this. And so there's more conversation around it. And there's too more conversation about mental health and how that can and should be more integrated into the workplace and in workplace protection. So I think those two things are really coming together to prompt more conversation about this. I'll also say that, 42% of California legislators at the moment are female. It's a real upward trend of women joining higher office. So I think that there's more acknowledgement of women's issues, and there's more push to create laws that work for working women.
Yeah, and likely more firsthand experiences as well. Finally, Kate, there are several hundred new laws that we're all going through and learning about, and many touch healthcare. What drew you to diving deeper into this specific one?
I was surprised that this law didn't already exist, that these protections and rights for working women were not currently in existence. I was curious about what protections it would provide. And I think that, as you said, I'm really interested in the culture shift aspect, right? When there are more women in higher office, as you said, more women who maybe have had firsthand experience of this, what concerns are brought to the forefront? And how are we able to really highlight those issues? And I know people who have lost unborn children who, that's part of their life and their story forever. And I think that is becoming more acknowledged and talked about, and hopefully making more people feel seen and like they're not alone.
Thank you so much, Kate. That is CAP Radio healthcare reporter Kate Wolf discussing a new state law that allows employees to take up to 5 days of unpaid leave following a reproductive loss, and that encompasses miscarriage, a failed adoption, to surrogacy, an IVF transfer, as well as other fertility diagnoses. Up next, a new women's soccer team is coming to Roseville, and it will be inspiring the next generation of players. We'll learn about the formation of Iron Rose FC and what the semi-pro team has in store before it kicks off its first season this year. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.